Oh, damn. I think it's important, too.
All right. All right. Hey, welcome back to Nickel for Your Thought. We've now changed it to Nickel for Your Thoughts, courtesy of Anthony's suggestions.
Yes, sir. First day on.
Yes. So we should introduce Anthony. Anthony, please introduce yourself.
Hello.
What's your name, man?
My name's Anthony. I am friends with these three wonderful gentlemen. We all met in college, of course, as they have mentioned last week. Now I am here to complete the Four Stooges for this podcast.
Yeah, Ant had a soccer last week that we found out about the day we agreed that we were going to record the podcast.
Yes, so. Sir, I am an asshole.
It was either we recorded a day later and let the nerves build up, or we just kept going. So we chose the latter.
So, Ant, did you listen to the whole first podcast?
Yes, I did. I did while I was at the vet waiting in my car for 3 hours.
The vet? For your dog?
Yep, the vet. Oh,
so you listened to it three times? Or?
Oh, no, just the one. The other three times, the other 2 hours I was napping.
Oh.
Wow. Nice. I guess that's some feedback for you guys, for us, you know. Wasn't that entertaining?
It was extremely entertaining. You three did a wonderful job.
Oh, I appreciate the love. Internal love.
I'm not biased or anything.
Yeah, right.
Nah. He's a guest. That's what's happening.
Yeah, last week we discussed... Yeah, we really just introduced ourselves, talked about, you know, our backgrounds and our experience at NGIT. First experiences getting into the workforce, all of that, and how little requirements there really is to get into the workforce. Yeah, they made it a whole deal about, oh, you need all this. It's good. When you get into the workforce, they're not gonna tolerate any of this. And
turns out they tolerate a lot.
In the end, experience matters over a degree.
Well, I'm not gonna lie. Ant and I were talking before the podcast, and he was very eager to find out about the Emu War that I brought up at the last minute of our last episode.
Your lord and reading through the wiki of the Emu War. Jesus this Christ, guy. You Australians.
Yeah, so basic rundown is we were talking about how an army lost a war against flightless birds twice. So, I don't know. I first heard about this on TikTok. And I couldn't believe it. I thought, you know, oh, this is cap. Let me look into it. And here I am looking through Wikipedia, reading about how an army lost two wars to flightless birds. And it was pretty insane. So I figured, why not share it with you guys on this podcast? So
you're saying that a brand new social media app that people our age and lower, maybe even a little higher, but and lower use, brought up an event that happened in 1932.
I mean, I guess that just shows my interest, because TikTok here
is your side of TikTok.
That is the side of TikTok that I am on. It's all good. It's all right. Everyone's different. We all embrace each other. So basically, yeah, and Ant's right. It was a war that was declared in 1932. So it really started because a bunch of emus just showed up where in this farm area that was reserved for Australian veterans from World War I. Out of nowhere, 20,000 something emus just showed up, and they started, you know, consuming the crops, and it just led to the destruction of the crops. And you know, normally they would migrate right after breeding season, but because the temperature was really hot and there was a scarce supply out in the wild, you know, the abundance of resources at the ready just attracted them to this farm area. So, you know, the veterans then requested help from the army. The Australian government approved this request. They were issued some machine guns. I do have to note that machine guns was a relatively new technology at the time. And in return for this support, you know, the veterans were to provide food and payment for these resources. So the military got involved in October of 1932, and they were led by Major Meredith. It was his name. And they were issued 2 machine guns and 10,000 rounds of ammo. So, I mean, 20,000 emus, 10,000 rounds of ammo. If you're if you're saying that, you know, 1 round per emu, they were really only planning to support the, I guess, destruction or the elimination of half this population. So they weren't trying to, you know, cause them to go extinct or whatever. They weren't trying to endanger this population. They just wanted to get it under control.
But still, it baffles me how their solution to this quote unquote crisis that could have been averted in many other ways. Their solution was, let's get 10K rounds and fire them off at 20K birds just to see what happens.
Machine guns,
right.
So I don't know if people are aware of firearms, but machine guns, they were huge back then. They were really, really big. They weren't handheld and portable like, you know, what we see in Call of Duty or something. I think even in Call of Duty, they call them light machine guns. Machine guns are just massive. They're mounted. They're huge. They're not portable in the least bit. And what's funny is, so this war, the military got involved in October, but it was delayed because out of nowhere, there was just heavy rainfall, nonstop rainfall. And it didn't stop until November. So
the rain just kept on going till November.
The rain just kept on going, and they couldn't declare this war on these birds until November.
Right? I could just see what's going on in the war room.
Like, the war on birds.
Yeah, like, yeah, guys, it's still raining, so we'll probably have to hold off. So the birds got to live another day, or a few more days, because, you know, spoiler alert, they lost. And then, second spoiler alert, they lost a second time, but that's not the point. So they didn't get to engage until November 2nd of 1932. Where you know, sun came out, it was great. A group of men went out and they found a herd of 50 emus out in the fields, but they were out of range. So they were out of range of the machine guns. They saw they were far, you know. Again, these guns are not portable. You can't just pick it up and bring it closer. So they attempted to herd the birds and try to get them into within range, right?
At that point, just herd them away from the crops.
You would think.
It's a war. It's a war.
You have to understand, all right? I guess I forgot to mention that one of the reasons why the government supported this was because they were saying, oh, you know, our troops could use target practice. Right. This is great. You know, there's just moving targets. We're helping out, you know, this entire village of veterans. It's going to be great. So while in the attempt to herd this herd of 50 emus, the birds split into 2 groups and just ran. They booked it. So, you know, out of panic, they just started firing. Right. For I don't know. What possessed this, you know, this experienced army? I guess, you know, they're not that experienced. I think Anthony actually looked up when the Australian army was formed.
I think it was 1901.
So this was in 1932. They have, I guess the math is what, 31 years? Right? 32 minus 1?
Yes, sir. Yep, right. 1901.
Yeah, 31 years of experience. Sure, you know, that's a lifetime of your average, you know, military service. So they just open fired on this herd of birds, and didn't get much. In a second round of fire, they were able to take out what's recorded of a dozen birds. So out of the 50 emus, they got a dozen birds. All right. So they try again. November 4th, the general tried to ambush a herd of 1,000 emus. Now, you're looking, 50 emus, sure, it's a smaller target, I guess, if you can say that. It's a smaller target, but now you have 1,000 birds, right? So you can just open fire and it would be, and you're bound to hit something, right? And they
you
were.
You missed everything.
They were smarter this time. The gunner waited until they were in closer proximity before opening fire, because again, they only had 10,000 rounds.
Only 10,000.
How many did they have left after that first firing squad attempted to kill 50 of them?
I don't think I looked that up, but I do have some ammo counts later in this in my notes, I guess. So the gunner waited until they were in close range and before he started opening fire. Then, they were in range, he opened fire. Then the gun jammed after only getting another dozen birds. So we're at a very countable number here. Two dozen birds have been taken out. We're 2 days into the war. They're not happy. The remainder of that 1,000 emus just scattered before any others were shot.
Can we not use the word war for this? Because war is a very strong word, and when you're putting the name emu in front of it, I don't know if that really helps their cause. Can we just call this a debacle?
Debacle.
Can we just call this a debacle for now?
It was an attempt at a.
Wait, my question is that did any of the humans did they suffer any casualties? It's a war, humans. You gotta have both sides of the war,
Yeah, the emus were firing back at the crossbows.
Hey, man, they got eggs.
Luckily, there were no recorded casualties on the, let's say, the Australian side, right? Because I don't think there was a war on races or species. Right? So another 2 days passes after the gun jams. They couldn't get it to work. And they found another. So 2 days later, they, they're still hunting them down, trying to find herds. They started to notice that in each pack, in each herd, they started forming leaders of each herd. They noticed that there's just one bird that just stands out in each pack, right? It would be a large black bird, and they described it as standing about 6 feet tall, and it would just keep watch over the rest as they continued their business. They eating the crops, destroying whatever is there, and they would actually warn the herd when anyone approaches them. And one of their one of their main excuses, I guess, for not succeeding is they were saying these birds are really fast, they're really agile, and our gun is huge, we can't get them, right?
So, are they actually?
I don't know. I guess
they can't compare to ostriches, because ostriches are bigger, aren't they?
No, the guns were huge, but
you said the emus were agile. How are they actually? Because I know they got a big torso, okay?
They're definitely middle heavy.
middle heavy. Although,
you have a target. It's not like, you're shooting at these birds and missing because they're too thin, right? And they're in herds. But they're saying, the maneuverability was comparable to the Zulus or something, and they were just super fast. Even when they were wounded, they could just get away. It was crazy.
Right.
Sounds like a whole lot of excuses, if you ask me.
I know, right? So, the soldiers attempted to mount one of the guns on a truck. They said, all right, so maybe if we can't, like, if we can't get to these birds while it's mounted on the ground, let's mount it on the truck and have the truck move. But unfortunately, the truck just couldn't gain on the speed of these birds, and the terrain made it impossible for the gunner to aim. So when they attempted this, they had no hits at all, no confirmed deaths from this tactic. By November 8th, all right, so they start, reminder, they started on November 2nd. So 6 days later, they only had 2,500 rounds left. Oh. So they went through a decent amount for 24 kills. All right. So for 24 confirmed kills, but in the records, you know, they were saying, oh, you know, it was actually like 50. And, you know, I guess the people who were actually there, the Australian army, they were trying to record somewhere between the 200 to 500 casualties or reported confirmed kills. But really, they know that it really wasn't much. You know, luckily, no reported casualties on their end. But this was really their last attempt. You know, they resorted to guerrilla tactics, and they just got very, very desperate. The army split up into small units and just fired away whenever possible, as opposed to, you know, trying to be instead of using tactics, being resourceful, you know, all of that, having an actual game plan on how to take down these birds. They just got carried away. They open fired, and they just depleted all their resources. So November 8th was the end of the first attempt. They called it quits. The Australian government refused to fund them anymore at that time, and people were just sent home. They said in their report, they claimed that any army of the world that could have faced the birds would have failed as well, no matter the firepower. It's just these birds were just that crazy.
I disagree. America lives on forever.
Red, white, and blue all the way.
The greatest country in the world, don't hate me.
Yeah, and if like that last part where you're saying like they split up, they use like all these tactics, you know, it sounds like very valiant. It's like, oh wow, it's like their last shot. But then you include the word emu in there. They're trying to fire at
this flightless bird. It's not like they flew away. I couldn't get to them. They ran on two legs, on 2 feet.
Yeah, and it doesn't help that you have the ostrich to compare them to. I mean, Mother Nature literally said, let's take an ostrich and downgrade immensely. I mean, we're talking a couple feet shorter. Yeah, they nerfed the ostrich. So, a couple feet shorter, can run maybe like 3/4 of their speed. And the biggest one, ostriches can live to 75 years. Emus, they get maximum lifespan of 20. Let's just take a huge hit to them, a hammer to their head at 20 years old. Ostrich, you go on forever.
You're off just waiting the 20 years.
And all, yeah, okay, but then of course you have the breeding, like you said, like earlier.
Yeah,
the whole breeding season.
I don't know. They start out as eggs. It's not like, you know, they're running around as babies.
I mean, you're probably right at that point. Yeah, you could wait out the 20 years or however till they get older. And in all honesty, just hack the eggs. That's kind of messed up, but you're killing them when they're already alive. Why not just do something before they get to that point? You know, before the point of terror, like quote unquote terrorization. Like they're not killing you. They're just feeding off your stock. Put some fence around it. Come on.
Yeah, you think about it. A group of well trained army men straight up forfeited against birds.
Okay, don't say well trained. They only had 30 years to prepare. Okay?
Listen, in 30 years, you don't know what you can do.
World War One, no?
Yeah, the whole war was done at that point.
Yeah.
They were World War One veterans.
They were, yes.
Dude. They haven't seen birds like that in World War One.
And soon to be World War Two.
Soon to be World War II. Yeah. So
they were just training for World War II.
Mm-hmm.
The thing here is the second attempt. The fact that there is a second attempt. So I mean, obviously they didn't resolve the issue the first time around, and the emus didn't obviously just go away. So they continued to wreak havoc on these farmlands. They were still destroying the crops, and this I also have to mention that I believe this is during the Great Depression, or at least this is at the start of the Great Depression. So obviously, you know, food is very valuable, and they need this, so they have to invest in trying to mitigate the situation. So go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, like, so emus could be a great source of food, you know.
That's a great point. You know, like if they were low on meat, they can have oversized chicken for dinner every night.
Imagine the dinner table. It's like, hey, we didn't get chicken, but we got emu.
Yeah, I wonder what that tastes like.
Tastes like chicken.
How do you know?
No, everything tastes like chicken, you know?
Strava's been around the world.
Yeah, I mean,
he's been to Australia like 4 times. He's tried a collective total of 10 times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the 10 out of the 12 birds they killed.
So the farmers continued to request additional support, and they were just saying that they were just claiming that, you know, the hot weather and the drought just kept attracting the emus back to their farms, and they just couldn't get rid of them. So finally, November 12th, the military agreed to send some more support, and again, the machine guns was very new technology at this time. And General Meredith, I think he's a major. I keep calling him general. Major Meredith was sent out again. So the guy who lost, you know, an entire war to the emus was given a second chance at redemption.
So, I mean, he had experience.
He has experience with these birds.
he threw on 2 weeks of experience to his resume. Yeah.
No promotion, so obviously they were just sending him out there.
Yeah, you know how like veterans have like the cap that says like, oh, Korean War or World War II? You think they have like caps for like Emu War? One in Emu War 2.
They didn't win. You can't get a medal for that.
Well, no, not a medal. I mean, like a cap. You know, like, you know, like World War 2 veterans and like Korean War veterans.
I have a little
cap that says like, oh, like Korean War. You think they had like something that for Emu two emos?
Yeah. So what they did is instead of giving him a Medal of Honor, they demoted him a couple stat.
Yo, I will not accept this slander. The guy did his best.
No, he tried his best. He did not do his best.
So he went back out on the field on the 13th of November, right? It was 13th of November, war was once again declared on the birds. And this time, they found success, or I guess I'm going to use the term success very loosely, because in the first 2 days, they killed about 40 birds. So they got a little less than twice the amount that they got in the first attempt. So I think that's really great.
I think the emus just let their guard down. They're like, nah, they're not coming back for a second time. They lost.
And then the third day was less successful. They only got about 15 kills, 15 confirmed kills. And by December 2nd, the soldiers claimed that they were killing about 100 per week. So again, they started the second war with the emus on the 13th of November. It is now the 2nd of December where they've finally figured out how to effectively get these birds. where they were getting an average kill rate of about 100 per week.
It's crazy how emus outsmarted them for that long.
It took them... I can't do the math. 13, what is that, 17 days? 17, yeah, 17 days. 17 plus the 2 days in December. To figure it out.
Finally figure out how to take them down.
Absolutely.
Yo, it's crazy. These emus had some guns on them.
So by the 10th of December, Major Meredith was reporting about 986 kills. He reported 986 kills using 9,860 rounds. So exactly 10 rounds per confirmed kill. But still, guys, 10 rounds from a machine gun is what it took to take down one bird.
Yeah, that seems about right. I mean,
the first nine were just flesh wounds.
I mean, I don't know. All right, so he's saying 986 kills in that 9,860 rounds. That's not to say that every round hit a bird, right? Like,
right.
Because he was also claiming that he wounded about 2,500 more. And he said all of those that were wounded eventually died. So,
of natural cause.
I was about to say, so what's the Geneva Convention on this war? Does the Geneva Convention come into effect here?
Oh, man.
Mike, mention what happens later on in 1950.
What happened in 1950? Do you know something?
In 1950,
another one.
They basically gave farmers 500,000 rounds of ammunition, so they can protect themselves and their crops from these birds.
I don't even have that. He kept going. I just stopped. because after December 10th, 1932, the government just stopped supporting the war. They didn't want to support it anymore. They didn't want to leave. They didn't want to give them the soldiers, right? Because that's obviously resources that they can use elsewhere, and that could be a lot more effective than using it against flightless birds, oversized chickens, right? Like,
yeah,
the farmers continued to request their support in 34, 43, 48, 1948, and all of it was just turned down, and eventually it just turned into a bounty system where, you know, they just gave out prize money for how many birds you can kill. They did that over a 6-month period, and they 57,000 bounties were claimed. In
oh my god! Imagine camping out in the wilderness kill an emu.
Right.
My thing here is, all right. So 57,000 bounties were claimed, right? If that bounty had one emu per bounty, there was a lot more birds than the 20,000 that was initially there.
Oh, 100%. This was probably just like one section of Australia. And Australia is I'm going to look at this up, what the area of Australia is.
But Australia guys, we're missing that this was over a 6-month period. 57,000 bounties. We can say 57,000 birds were taken out by civilians. Mm-hmm. What the hell was the Australian army doing?
wait, but what was the time frame for these bounties?
What do you mean? It says over 57,000 bounties were claimed over a 6-month period in 1934.
Okay. Okay, that's good. Okay. So 1 month, an army took down maximum 10,000 birds.
Yeah.
Civilians did the same exact thing over a 6-month period.
And took what out does that almost tell you? 6 times more than that.
What does that tell you? Pedestrians for the win. That's what it tells you.
Exactly. I mean, not by the way, not to slander, you know, the Australian Army. I'm sure they're great.
Oh, they are. They took part in a lot of different wars. Of course, World War I and II, Korean War, Vietnam War.
Emu War.
I think that, Emu War, of course. I think that they did very well for themselves, especially for a country that only started or only founded their army in 1901. Because I'm pretty sure the U.S. it had to be early 1800s.
But
you got me on these dates.
History. I mean, I'm just making assumptions. Oh, I was way off.
Still, what
1775, Continental Army.
Oh, would you say that this Australian army against the emus prepared them for a successful, you know, career in war?
Not at all. No.
Not even.
If anything, it taught them to hit their shots with a machine gun.
Well, that's I would consider that a very practical skill.
Yeah,
in an army.
They hit two birds with one stone. They learned how to use a gun and they killed emus.
Yeah, so
that's where the term comes in.
Save the crops. Yeah.
I'm gonna get hated on so badly by Australians. I'm so sorry.
You're gonna get canceled by our Australian community.
100%.
Our Australian community, we love you. We know you're listening. Thank you for the support.
One more thing. But I'm so sorry, but. I'm so sorry, but one more thing. I looked up the stupidest wars in history, and the Emu War is number 8.
And the second. What about the second one?
Well, I just looked up the list, and one of them, like, so this war is on the same website as the war that was fought over a wooden bucket
in Australia. Sorry,
War is this like between countries?
The War of the Oaken Bucket.
The open
yes. So 32,000 men.
Holy sh!
Oh my god!
Part in this on one side, and the other side had about 7,000 men.
Well, yeah.
Over an oak bucket that was stolen from a well.
Huh.
It's the principle at that point.
It is the principle, and now this oak bucket sits in a museum. Behind some glass.
Wait, well, what country was this?
Well, this was 1325. So
I don't know, man. That sounds so American. Like
Northern Italy.
Really?
Damn.
Yeah. Two cities. I don't want to mispronounce. I don't want to say Bologna and Modena.
Bologna?
I didn't want to say that. But I'm pretty sure Bologna and Modena. Modena. Yeah, they were longtime rivals and fought over a bucket. Good for them.
That was definitely like the straw that broke the camel's back kind of thing. It's like there's so much tension there, and they're like,
they were rivals, and I'm guessing someone trespassed onto the other person's land, and that's probably what really started it.
Yeah, that's more of a war of principle. Like,
yeah,
they were just trying to settle it once and for all. That's fine. It wasn't really over a bucket.
Right. Any reason to fight, right? Like
any reason to fight.
They were just looking for it.
For the bucket, you're right.
Yeah. That's all right. I mean, to Pat's point, what was number 2 and why are we
That was number 2.
Number 2. That was number 2?
That was
Wait,
number
what
2.
What takes the cake?
Oh god, and I got to go back to my history. Hold on.
Oh, it's right here. It also.
Because I don't want to keep talking about this. Stupid wars, are you kidding me? The War of Jenkins' Ear.
Wait, I've heard about this,
of course.
1739 to 1748. In Great Britain.
Elaborate.
Started in 1731. Jenkins was the captain of a merchant ship. He was boarded by the Spanish Coast Guard. They suspected him of smuggling. They went too far. They sliced off his ear, and that's what started everything.
Wait, I mean, like that sounds like a
they kept his ear in a pickle jar.
I mean, it's cruel and unusual punishment. I feel like we would go to war for that if one of our guys were, or that happened to like one of our troops.
Not even troops, just American civilians in general.
Yeah, especially.
But if it was wasn't American. This was Great Britain.
No, I know, but like I'm saying, like an American civilian, if something like that happened,
oh,
you know, the U.S. military, the U.S. would be all over that.
That's true, yeah. I mean, honestly, at that point, like, what did you do to get your ear cut off?
He made like you
the,
do
this is not, personally, I wouldn't say this is an eye for an eye kind of situation.
It's an ear for an
this
ear.
This is a stop whining, get back to work.
But, all right, Sarav, I got you. I got that.
Thanks. You know, nobody else heard that joke.
No, it's we like, heard it. We just didn't acknowledge it.
Didn't even acknowledge my joke.
I'm joking.
Oh, wait, I forgot the best part about the Emu War. There's a movie that's coming out in 2022.
Yes.
With Rob Schneider. Or it's co-written by Rob Schneider.
Yes.
So I think we should we should do a live podcast when that movie comes out. We'll watch it and we'll do a live reaction.
In the movies. Yeah. While we're in the movies.
We're going to milk this war. we also got to watch the musical adaptation that was in 2019.
There's
a musical adaptation?
Yes. Wow. Emu. Hunting on the ground. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, how much time did that take up? And how much minutes. More you know? Talk about these
40 minutes on Emu War.
Right.
It took longer than the board.
Than the war lasted.
God damn it, I was going to say that.
Come on.
I was going to say that the scenario reminds me of, like, what is it, that what's going on in, like, Texas with the pig population, where it's like they're doing bounties for killing the pigs.
Are they
like,
actually?
Oh, yeah. They're destroying the crops. And so, like you can just go and kill wild boar, no problem. And, like, it's getting so out of control. It's like you're allowed to hunt them from a helicopter now, I think.
Yeah. The population of wild pigs right now are 2.6 million in Texas.
Yeah,
What's the population of Texas?
2.6 million.
Population of Texas, it would probably be around
2.6 40
million?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, something like that.
It would have been great if it was like
for 30.
Every person in Texas that had to take out like 10 boars.
No, it's actually for every boar that has to take out 10 Texas
Texans.
Texans, yes.
Yeah.
Damn.
They have their own bounties.
Man. I think they can absolutely do that. They just have to take down like the power grid.
Yeah.
No outside support from that one.
Or just hope for another snowstorm.
Oh yeah,
this is going to turn into
just me.
So, like, you think it's going to turn into like a situation like a emu war type, the pig war?
I don't know. Well, the thing is, people make the argument where it's like what's called pigs can like they can give like birth like 3-4 times a year, so it's like they reproduce really fast
with litters of 20.
Yeah, so
litters of 20. What the heck?
Something insane. Yeah, so it's like 2 pigs can turn into like 100 in like a year. You know, like
yeah.
So, so like, that's where this concern comes from. And yeah, and they're destroying the crop. So kind of a similar scenario.
You know how long this has been going on for?
I'm not sure. I think it's pretty recent. I know the helicopter thing was like the past 2 years. Like they
listen, this is kind of just capitalism at its best.
Right. Yeah. You can go hunt from a helicopter.
Probably pay like thousands.
Is it the same meat that's in like our in like the what's it called the domesticated pigs? Oh, they're not domesticated, they're farm raised
right pigs. yeah I think these are more like wild boar, so
these are although people do hunt wild boar for their meat though.
Yeah like I'm pretty sure you can eat it. It's not what you're eating in the store, you know. It's
no,
like
not at all.
I shouldn't expect like bacon, right? Like right. Bacon prices are not about to drop.
No they're still going through the roof.
What a waste.
Right. Yeah, I just heard about that, right? It's like, aren't there, like, there's a big, like, turkey shortage, right? Because it's like, there aren't enough people to run the facilities, so the amount of, you know, turkey for sale is, like, very minimal, so the price is, like, really high.
That's here in the U.S.?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Right, so apparently there might be some crisis for Thanksgiving. I don't know how true that is.
Oh, God, okay.
Right.
Spoiler alert, you don't need turkey on Thanksgiving.
What? You don't eat
turkey. Don't eat turkey on Thanksgiving. It's poultry. Get a chicken.
I agree.
Yeah, that Costco rotisserie chicken.
Oh, honestly, that's good.
Yeah, yeah,
but Costco chicken. Throw it under a broiler. Oh, you're done. It crisps your skin.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah, okay. I'm more like, you know what? I'm not going to lie. I kind of like the drums and the thighs much better than the breast.
Absolutely. I'm a dark meat type of guy.
Mm-hmm, same. Mm.
Has the most flavor.
Hey, okay, good, good, good.
All right.
Wait, so I just looked this up. All right, ready? So in Australia, there are 48 million kangaroos. And in Uruguay, there's about 3.5 million inhabitants. So if kangaroos decided to invade Uruguay, they would have the Uruguayans would have to fight 14 kangaroos.
I heard about this before.
This is what I was expecting from this war on the pigs from Texas.
Bro, right. That's what kangaroos are deadly.
Yeah, I was about to say, they're buff as hell.
These motherfuckers are deadly. They are buff as hell, and they will kill you.
Mm-hmm. Well, God. Isn't it true it's like the only reason why there's like hippopotamuses in South America is like because of Pablo Escobar, right? Like his domesticated ones like escape and like breed
in. I heard of that. Yeah, right? I heard about that.
And like some people get attacked by them and like, you know, and die, and it's serious, but it's weird to think about it just because it's like, you know, he just wanted them as pets and now it's
his body count just keeps going up because of these
right. Yeah, he has an army, you know, hippopotamuses that
hippopotamus are deadly. Huge men.
Absolutely.
You guys seen that one meme where like the guy fights a kangaroo?
I've seen that. Yeah, he punches it in the face and gets it in the head.
Straight sucker punches it in the face. Yeah.
Right. Well, the crazy part is right before that, the kangaroo has like the dog that he's trying to save in like a headlock.
Yeah.
You know, like it looks like.
No, it was straight up a whole headlock. Like the kangaroo is not letting go, and then
squares
up.
It just looks so human-like, you know, where it's like he had him in like a headlock, like had the dog in a headlock. Like
the thing that baffles me is like, why do kangaroos actually try to lure people into water to drown them when they're herbivores?
Wait, kangaroo?
I've never heard of this.
Heard of that? If you see like in a pond that's maybe like waist deep or something like that, he's basically just trying to lure you in so he can kill you.
Like, why don't would you go near like that?
No, what the thing is,
to walk towards a kangaroo in a pond.
Okay, so I don't think they're actively luring you. I think like if you do go up to them in this water, they will drown you, or at least attempt to drown you.
Wow,
I feel
like instead of like a normal animal running away.
You mean hopping?
Because hopping away, because these guys they're only 5 feet tall, so they're smaller than us. And yes, some of them are buff, but still, they're definitely not as heavy as the average human being.
Yeah, I don't know. The one with the dog video that one was pretty jacked, to be honest.
Yo, he straight up squared up with a kangaroo. Kangaroo didn't know what to do. He didn't know what hit him. Going back to your point, when you use the term lure, I'm picturing a kangaroo sitting in the water, you know, like
being like, "Come on, buddy."
Yeah, like, come on, you know, buddy. With a finger, like trying to like, you know, like, "Come here, big boy."
Right.
Wearing fishnet stockings.
The kangaroo just flipping you off to try to get you to come over.
Right. Yeah, like trying to act cute. It's like someone tries to take a selfie with it and just gets drowned. Like,
yeah.
Oh, they're learning. They learn.
Yeah.
Learn from the best.
Yeah, they better hope that they never try to invade Uruguay.
Oh my god, this has been like a constant. This is a whole podcast on Australia.
Australia.
Right.
War.
It all just comes down to Australia, man.
So what you found a story on TikTok, right? I was gonna say.
It did start out on TikTok, yeah. Okay. TikTok's great. I don't know, man.
Is it true that Corona's widespread again in Australia?
Oh,
I think so.
Yeah, like the lockdown seemed pretty severe from what the news says.
Yeah, they straight up went like full lockdown. Nobody's allowed outside.
Yeah.
I mean, they did the same thing before and it worked for them. So why not just try it again?
Yeah, I well, think they're just relaxing.
Yeah, there's different variants now, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. Do I they feel have like the same vaccine?
What's that?
Does Australia have the same access to the Moderna and Pfizer vaccine?
That's a good question. I don't think so. I remember last time I looked at it, it seemed like they were pretty far behind, like with the U.S., like in terms of the percent vaccinated. Like,
No, they do have Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson and Moderna. Yeah.
I mean, why not? Why not make some extra money, right?
I don't think they're profiting from the vaccines.
No,
really? Even Pfizer's outsourcing?
Pfizer? Pfizer and Moderna, I'm pretty sure, are selling it.
I mean, You're saving other countries the resources needed to do all this research and development for vaccines. You're not going to put a price tag on it?
There's definitely a price tag.
Absolutely, yeah.
Especially,
certain nations. Like, I mean, I'm pretty sure, like, Canada imports all its vaccines, so, like, I'm sure, you know, they're
just
paying
us on dollar. Yeah, they just have us one border away.
Right, yeah.
But no, I'm pretty sure the pricing is tiered, like depending on like what type of country it is. Like if it's like a poor country,
depending on how much we like them.
Right.
No, because I know that like United States and Canada.
Oh, I guess we just lost Mike. Yeah.
Oh no, Mike, where'd you go?
He's back. I think he's trying to
watch. That was my fault. I pressed the wrong button.
Oh no! Nice. But anyways, yeah, I'm pretty sure. What's it called? Like United States and like Canada, they're getting their vaccines at like the highest amount they will they will sell it at. And I think like different countries, like you know, like the ones that are like not as rich as like the Canadians and the United States, they're getting charged like half the price or something, or like super reduced price.
Right.
I mean, well, Canada has universal health care, so it's not like they're relaying the cost to the what's it called, to the population.
Yeah.
Well, also, apparently, about 80% of the nation of Australia already have their first dose.
We're back to Australia.
That's not bad.
I'm sorry. Wait. 65. My bad. Yeah, I was looking at over or equal to, greater than or equal to 16 years old. My bad.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I see. Like 46.2% are fully vaccinated.
Yeah. Well, I mean, total population it also consists of children, and I highly doubt a lot of children are getting vaccinated. By children, I mean 10 and under.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Why? What is the vaccine approved for?
12 and older, right?
That's at least for the United States. I don't know about the
Yeah,
U.S. approved it for, I think, no, is it 12? No, 12 and over is being studied upon. I think 16 and over is fully, it's out for 16 and over.
Oh,
that kind of makes sense.
Yeah. 12 is still under study, I'm pretty sure.
It's all right. We'll get through it.
There's an age for everything.
We support the vaccine.
Mike, where'd you go?
I don't know. I pressed the wrong button. I don't know what I was clicking on. I think I was just trying to, you know, jiggle my mouse, and I accidentally hit the disconnect button.
You joined back really quick.
Yeah, I just clicked on the stream right away. Did Craig stay?
Craig's still here. Yeah, Craig's here.
Nah, Craig's a trooper. He's still here.
He didn't leave, right?
He didn't leave.
All right, so. Yeah. It's still recording.
Guys, we should make Craig merchandise in our Patreon.
Oh, that's right. Ah, who's going to start that Patreon?
Ooh.
Any volunteers? No.
I volunteer Craig.
I can do it.
All right, guys, I'll set it up in my bank account. It's okay.
Yes, Pat.
I'll keep track of it all. Don't worry.
Take one for the team, but also profit.
Well, we're actually getting requests of that you're gonna sing.
Oh yes,
right. Yeah.
He's gonna pocket the money.
Yeah. What song does everyone want to hear?
No, since you're singing, you can pick. It just has to be.
No. We gotta pick it for him. We gotta pick it for him.
Don't go like that.
Oh yeah. Come on. It's gotta be something he's comfortable with.
If someone donates to the Patreon, they could say they can request the song. How about that?
You guys hear that?
Yes.
Make things interesting. To our
Patreon, and Pat will post a video of him singing.
No, he's gonna do it live on the podcast.
Yeah, oh, it's gonna be live.
Podcast. Our podcast isn't live.
Okay, he's gonna do it during the podcast.
Yeah,
he's gonna do a live podcast. That's what's gonna happen.
All right. So I was talking live to Alvin. Twitch. Exactly. I was talking to Alvin about that, and he was like, Alvin is a friend of ours from college as well, and he was telling us like, oh, you guys should the platform you guys should do your podcast on, you should switch it to Twitch so that people can comment live on what you're talking about, and it might help with the content as well.
Oh, there we go. Yeah,
people can. But then I was like, all right, but that requires us to set an exact time to do this podcast.
Mm.
One, Sarav is always late. Guys, true. Let me give you some background. No, we've agreed that we were going to record this podcast at 10 p.m. tonight. Sarav did not show up until, let's see, 10:30.
20, yeah. 10:30. No. It wasn't that bad.
It was about 10:30.
Yes.
When he joined,
it was not 10:30.
Yes, when you joined the Discord, you said hopping on at around, I think it was 10:19, and it still took you like.
Okay, 10 minutes. I had to make sure everything was good. You know, mic checks, make sure my camera's good.
You literally did that while we were on the chat.
I wasn't even here last week, and on average for this podcast, Sarav is still more late than I am.
Hey, why are you guys coming after me? I thought you were coming after Australians. What's going on here?
Well,
so I mean but that's the issue. Like, we can't do it on Twitch because then we have to set a time that we're all going to be on, and you're going to stroll in halfway through the podcast.
Yeah, save the best for the last. I got you.
No, I was telling the guys, I was like, all right, when Sarav gets on, let's just tell him that we're already halfway through, and we'll just have him
just join in. Yeah. We'd get half the podcast just to the three of us. And then Sarav joins back 5 minutes later realizing, wait, no. No, I actually have a quick question. Especially for Sarav, because like you work more in this field. Like working at Pfizer, working for a company that creates the vaccine. I wanted to ask, so when you look up statistics of the vaccine, like not just for New Jersey, but for the whole U.S., you have the statistic for dose one and dose two administered. If you get the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which is only one dose, would that go under the percentage of dose two administered?
Yeah. Good question, actually. I don't believe
they do it that way. I think there's a category as like fully vaccinated.
I was about to say
fully vaccinated is what you should be looking at, not
it's just that I pulled up some stats and New Jersey we have 72% or 73% of dose one administered and 60% of dose two administered.
I feel like dose two just categorized as like fully vaccinated.
Okay.
Yeah.
You think there's gonna be recordings of people getting the booster?
There already are.
There are?
Mm-hmm.
Are there?
Yeah. It's on the CDC website. I know, but it's only approved, what, for like people over 65 and people with pre-existing conditions, right?
Exactly.
But I think there's
a few million
people or something to have it. I was going to pull it up, read it. But yeah, there's like a few million people who have it.
But that only takes into account the population that's fully vaccinated, right?
I guess so. I guess it would be a subset.
Oh, you mean like as a percentage? Like if they say...
Yeah. If 3% gets the booster, it's 3% of the population that's fully vaccinated.
Exactly.
As opposed to the whole population.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if you go to the CDC, they have three categories. They have one dose, fully vaccinated, and booster dose. Which,
so what's the booster dose at?
It says total 6 million people. It's like 3.2% of the population, and
of the whole population or the vaccine?
the whole United States population. Yeah,
that makes sense.
And then, and I'm pretty sure
that makes sense. I mean, the percentages,
right? And Pfizer, right? Pfizer is the one with the booster, right?
Pfizer's the only one that's approved for a booster. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I'm trying.
How do you know that, Sarov?
What's up?
How do you know that?
No, you know, I just keep on top of the news. What can I say?
Oh, that's good. That's good. Good for you.
Yeah. Of course. You know.
You gotta start doing the same thing. Keep going with the news. That's what I mean.
Moderna's cheap.
Yeah.
They still don't have a booster. I got sick when I got the shot.
I think they're still waiting approval. I think they have it. It's just not approved, you know? Like, they're still
just get the booster instead of the vaccine.
Well, I mean, like...
What happened?
What?
Fuck it. Pull the trigger. Get the booster instead of the vaccine.
I have all the vaccines.
That's what I was like, maybe I'll just go back and get the
Moderna, Pfizer Johnson vaccine. Johnson. Some off-market one. And what's the other one that starts with an A, I think?
AstraZeneca is the European one.
Yes. And then some BS one that was made in the caves of some
Russia?
Russia. Yes.
Yeah. Well, there is the Russian one, right? The Russian.
Yeah. You know it's better than any vaccine we can produce.
Oh, 100%.
Right, yeah. You know, everybody has it and no one's died from it. So, you know, according to that.
Oh my god.
Just for your guys' opinion, do you think it's worth getting Johnson & Johnson one dose or two dose? Even with everything that was put out about it, like all the conditions that people have gotten?
I will say this, I got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine and I also got COVID after that, so.
Oh.
Wait, nice. You said day after that?
No, sorry, after that. I got that. Casmo said,
damn.
I got the vaccine in April, and then I think I got COVID in August. So, but it was very mild, so.
But you always get a chance no matter what vaccine you get, right?
Yeah, and you can still contract the virus and get symptoms. It's just, less, it's going to be less severe because your body already knows how to fight it.
Yeah, especially with the Delta variant, like, the way that it attacks is just like it completely overwhelms your immune system. Like even though it's like fighting, it's just like not enough to like completely wipe it out. Mm-hmm. So that's why like you get like those symptoms, but your body can still fight it off.
Right. So. Yeah. I mean, I didn't even know I had COVID, and it took me 3 days to realize it.
Did you get tested?
Yeah,
I got tested. Actually, maybe 4 days. I'm trying to think. Yeah, it took me a while to realize I had it. The only thing I had was a headache. And, like, I just thought I needed a cup of coffee in the morning. Like, I just thought, you know, like
a caffeine headache. You're for COVID, a cup of coffee.
It wasn't the vaccine, bro. That was the coffee.
Right. Well, I'm saying it felt like, you know, like caffeine withdrawal. Like, it just felt like, you know, I'm really, I feel really tired and I have a headache, like, you know, when I would first wake up in the morning.
Do you guys get caffeine withdrawal? Because, personally, I don't drink coffee, so, like, what's... If you change your drinking habits from one day to another, do you get some, like, you already feel it the day after?
I drink coffee regularly for me to have that.
Yeah. Like, 2 years ago when I was drinking, like, a lot of coffee, I quit cold turkey, and the most painful headache of my life for, like, 2 weeks straight.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah. Terrible, yeah. And just, like, super tired, yeah.
Do you wean yourself off?
I tried that a little bit, and then I was just like, the thing was, it was affecting my sleep so bad, I was just like, I'm going to power through it, and through it, and so I did that. Some of the best sleep of my life, I'll give you that, at the end of the day, I passed out. Like, you know.
Was that when you were working a night shift?
No, that was actually when I was working from home. I don't know why
you're chugging coffee at home.
Yeah, I guess I was so bored being locked in the house. I was like, oh, I'll just make a cup of coffee. And I was doing that like 3-4 times a day.
Yeah.
And then I was going to the gym and taking pre-workout, which is like even more.
Oh,
like,
God.
Yeah, oh, that's like caffeine.
Like a ridiculous amount of caffeine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. And then I was like, this is a problem.
Were you favoring Starbucks or Dunkin'?
I was favoring the Keurig in my house. Yeah. But I am a Starbucks person.
For Dunkin'. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Apparently, there's the go ahead.
I was about to say, yeah, shout outs to Dunkin' Donuts and T-Mobile. If you have T-Mobile, T-Mobile Tuesday, $1 Dunkin' card. Get it right now before it runs out.
Okay, so
it's all October.
You get $1 every week until a certain day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's the end of October. And after that's done.
Yeah. Was that our first sponsor?
Yo, bro, Dunkin', sponsor us. Come on.
Did you guys know that on the logo, the Starbucks girl, she's actually not symmetrical?
I did not know that.
I've never.
She's very slightly measured. Yeah, so like her on the logo, her eyebrows kind of like extend to going down by her eyes, and on her left eyes, our right, it spans down a little bit further.
This sounds like a lot like body shaming.
No, so so this is like an advertising trick for people to understand that not everyone is symmetrical. So it's mind games basically to get more people to buy your coffee. And obviously, it was
just an intern that designed that.
Oh my god!
And they just messed up. By the way, we're looking for someone who's gonna make a graphic for us, because Spotify, having our picture on Spotify is kind of weird. We should what do you mean? If you look at all the podcasts, all the pictures are drawn.
We're Joe Rogan doesn't count.
What?
Joe Rogan doesn't count.
No, everyone. All right, so I also have to disclose that we are not the only podcast named Nickel for Your Thoughts. So if you're looking for us on Spotify, you have to look for the picture of us. All right.
Of us, four dudes, two Asian, two white.
I thought
all wearing sunglasses.
Wait, I thought we changed it so now it is our own name.
No, Anthony told me to change it from Nickel for Your Thought to Nickel for Your Thoughts, which is actually identical to the other podcast that I sent you.
Oh.
But they're done. So I actually listened to their podcast.
Oh, they don't post anymore?
No. They started in January of this year, and their last episode was in March.
Oh, they lasted a while, though.
Ooh, damn.
But they only have, like, 8 episodes.
Oh, never mind. Nothing bad. Is it literally a nickel? Or why does the coin says Canada on it?
Wait, are you looking at nickel for the actual nickel for that?
Yeah, it's a Canadian coin.
What are you talking about?
I'm on Spotify right now, and I typed in Nickel for Your Thoughts, and one comes up, and it's literally the picture of a Canadian currency.
Wait,
as like the cover.
Wait, photo. that's a playlist, my guy.
That's a playlist. It's the one with the orange podcast background. It's a graphic. It is
a graphic.
And it's part of the P2C-S podcast network.
I do see.
Yeah, mine's not coming up.
And okay. There's even another one, what, A Nickel for Your Thoughts, right?
So I was also asked today, Alvin was asking me why we chose that name, Nickel for Your Thoughts.
Because there's five of us. Hi, Craig.
Yeah, there's five of us.
Yeah.
There we go. We are actually the pennies, and together we are a nickel.
We are one nickel.
Jeez.
Yeah, for me, it's not coming up.
It's all right. Their podcast is so their podcast is about they do like a podcast topic each. There's five of them, and they like. They choose their topic and they talk about it. And there's just, I guess, three podcasts in there, three episodes in there where they just talk about other things, but each one is dedicated to a person and their friend group.
Wait, is it the one with like five people and they're like animated?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we need a graphic. I think that'd be cool.
The podcasts weren't an hour long, though. They were only between 35 and 45 minutes.
Well,
and the first one was 4 minutes. They suck.
I think that's a trailer.
Well, that was back in 2020, and they
started posting in 2020.
No. Their quote unquote trailer,
yes,
was in 2020 in July, and then they only started posting in January of this year, and they stopped in March.
So did we do this wrong? Like, were we supposed to record a bunch of podcasts and then post them, as opposed to just post them as we record them?
Bro, we're just gonna go with the flow. We ain't hating on no one's channel. All right, we're gonna do our thing. They can do their thing. Like you said, unscripted, raw, with no talent, just raw.
No talent.
No creativity.
We're not even editing Mike there.
I know. That's another thing Alvin was telling me. He was like, oh,
yeah, not
all of our voices were on the same like field in terms of volume. And he was telling me, like, download each voice separately. I was like, dude. Tell Craig.
Craig
is recording our audio.
let me give you his email. Do you think we get a sponsorship from Craig for mentioning him so much?
I don't want Craig to sponsor us.
He's already working for free.
Exactly. I don't need a sponsor. if he's working for free, how is he going to sponsor us? What money does Craig have?
He pays to work for us. That's what's going to happen.
I'm going to type in Craig on Google and see what happens. Who's a famous Craig that we can get? Besides Craigslist.
Bro, you're putting us on the spot. I can't think of anything. Right now.
Craig Newmark with a net worth of $1.3 billion.
Craig
Newmark, if you'd like to sponsor us, we are an up and coming podcast, and I say up and coming in a very loose manner, as this is our second recording.
Yeah, from our
I think so.
And you're like our biggest critic, like no talent. Like, you know?
talent is limitless, and right now we have limit talent.
You're saying we have limited talent? Is this how it's going to go?
Yes, because there's only 4 plus 1 of us.
There's 5 of us.
That's why I said 4 plus 1.
Well, guys, all right. So we got some reviews. We got some love from our closest friends saying that they liked their last episode. And we'll ask them again how they feel about this episode. And if they don't like it, we know what changed.
I thought you were going to go a totally different route with that one.
Craig was born in Morristown. He's a New Jersey native.
Wait, who?
Oh, we got him on the podcast now.
He's an American internet entrepreneur and philanthropist.
Craig, wait, if you'd like to be a guest on
the podcast. Yeah, he's the founder of Craigslist.
Wait.
Oh. Actually.
Yeah.
Wait, that's who that guy is. Oh,
yeah.
I'm looking for our email address. Mark.
Yo, he was born in Morristown. That's
Sir. 16-year-old phenom.
Right. Well, we'll bring him on. We'll ask him like how he feels about COVID or something.
Craig, Craigslist is the best website in the world.
Ask him if he's vaccinated. Ask him how he feels like which about one? The insurrection.
Yeah.
I have used Craigslist.
Yeah.
I have used Craigslist and I rate it 5 stars. The one time I used it, 5 stars.
Ask him if he still sells My Pillow on his website.
If you sell My Pillow on your website, I will buy one.
I have one. It's great.
I will buy. I will buy your My Pillow from Pat on Craigslist.
Yeah. So Craig, if you want to be on our podcast, email us at bmeapartment205@gmail.com.
Oh, that's our email.
That was our email from college. All right.
Oh, I do remember that one, yeah.
And
you should have asked NGIT if we could have made it in at NGIT.edu.
No way.
Yeah, so they could read all the emails, right?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Exactly.
Would you want them to know how successful their alumni are?
They got a whole podcast.
NGIT to sponsor us.
Awesome. Yeah, it could happen. The NGIT alumni.
$5,000 off your tuition.
We were just slandering two of their professors.
No, we weren't. We were
not slander. That was all lightly. True.
What do you mean? I'm not gonna say any names anymore because I don't want to repeat what you guys did. Because we don't say names anymore. But they shaped us to be the people we are now.
I've said that.
All of our success and failures have only them to thank.
Mostly failures, but okay.
That wasn't going to say that. But yes, that's true.
Yeah, so all our listeners, if you have questions, if you have, suggestions, critiques, send them over to our email address, bmeapartment205@gmail.com.
All right.
Should make a Yelp.
If you want to hear Pat sing.
Sing a song, yeah.
Patreon. We'll have it up and running, and we will, I guess, we'll talk about it on our next episode. Next episode, we're actually, I forgot to tell you guys, we're going to have Alvin on. I was just talking about him to all our listeners. He will be coming on as a guest next week.
Nice.
I believe Juliana is going to try to be on next week as well. She has some things going on, but Juliana is also is another friend of ours from college. We are all BMEs. She will be trying to come on, and I think that'd be great.
All right.
Let's also get Craig from Craigslist on the podcast.
And of course, Craig.
We have to communicate with him, see when he's free.
Of course.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you think just by saying his name in the podcast, it'll get to him? So, Craig right. Newmark, hit us up. Craig Newmark, please.
Where else can we post this? I mean, it's posted on Spotify, but where else can we post this podcast?
I don't know.
Apple Music? Yeah.
Apple Music podcast? Does podcast, yeah.
Apple Music.
Google has one with a Google.
Dude, no need to do that.
Yeah, but we want I was going to say, we want some visibility.
Well, I'm just saying it's free,
SoundCloud?
Right?
SoundCloud?
SoundCloud, yeah.
You also use SoundCloud?
SoundCloud. Yeah.
Did it get shut down?
I don't know. I personally never used it.
That was OnlyFans. Also, we are going to open an OnlyFans as well, but it's only going to
Yes, there's a price on that one as well.
That one is actually going to be linked to Pat's private bank account because it's only going to be him.
Oh my god. Yeah, you gotta set that one high. The amount for that one's gotta be high. Like we're talking 10,000, 10,000, no, 10,000 average podcast listeners.
Right. All right, yeah. So he'll also be promoting our podcast from his OnlyFans.
multiple streams of advertising. What can we say?
Yeah. So yeah, thanks for listening. And we'll see you next week.
Have a good night, guys.
How do I end
keep
this?
It raw.
I think you have to remove Craig. Right.